pop culture questions only one podcast knows. Nerds That Know, Rated R.
The greatest minds from around the world. This is the Nerds That Know. Stash here, along with my wonderful guests and co-hosts. Guests? Co-hosts? I don't know. What are you guys? Guests? Oh, that's right. That's right. You're my bitches. That's what this is.
You want me to fucking kick you right in the testicles, because that's what's going to happen. I know where
you
sleep.
How dare you? How dare you threaten me? Rude, I say.
Specifically his testicles, jeez.
Seriously? I know where you sleep.
You do, but you don't know the combination to my door, so
yeah, I feel safe. But I know your roommate, and they'll give me the combination to your door.
You are not wrong.
So,
all right, guys, how have you been? How has this past week of isolation and incredible... I don't know.
Insanity?
Sure, let's go with insanity. I was going to say poor decision making, but, you know.
Tomato, that's just tomato. My life.
That's my life.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't made too many bad decisions, dude. I've been living like, I've been painting like rooms, I've shooting videos, going to restaurants. It's been like business as usual for me.
Well, going to restaurants is bad decisions, so.
Well, the nice thing about going to these restaurants is sharing that these restaurants are open, trying to help them spread their menus and their food to other people that may not be aware of them or open to the idea. So we're trying to help them with their own marketing so that they survive this. I mean, a lot of people don't know if restaurants are open, if you can go dine in, if they do DoorDash, if they have a delivery service. So we're trying to help these restaurants survive, because I've already seen too many that I loved go bye-bye.
Well, and so many places are being really responsible with how they're handling things right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, we were talking about it before we went live, and, you know, here at my house, we have one of the digital thermometers where we do what my housemaid has lovingly referred to as the brain scan when people show up at our door, and, you know, we scan to make sure they have brain.
Actually, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I went to H Mart this weekend, and as you walk in, there's this huge plasma TV set, and on it is your infrared readout. It'll show your body temperature and your glow, your aura, as you walk through the door.
Oh, that's what my work does.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, but this is H Mart. I mean, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, we went out for sushi the other day, and they're doing that, you know, where everybody who comes in through the door is getting scanned. They're doing digital menus where you have to scan the QR code on their tabletop, yeah, to be able to access the menu.
Yeah, I've seen that. Some places are handling it better than others. Others are just, you know what, I go back to just delivery. I really think that they've absolutely failed at the service side of it and trying to keep up. Some of them I'm just hugely disappointed. But H Mart, I feel like I'm being stalked by the predator.
Well, you know, I mean, the computers are taking over.
I mean, they essentially got us through a quarantine with, like, our sanity intact. So at this point, I say let them.
Yeah, might as well.
I mean, I guarantee you, without video games and streaming services, I would have lost my sanity some time ago.
Well, it's the Matrix fattening us up so, you know, we can be better batteries later on.
Oh, they're definitely doing a successful job on the fattening up side of things.
Maybe this whole thing is just a glitch in the Matrix and they're trying to shake us loose.
Well,
they're trying to shake us
loose.
They need
to do a better fucking job. That's what I have to say.
It's all a dream world. Run away.
God, you guys.
All right, guys, what's the big news this week? Oh, of course, it's Umbrella Academy. So,
fuck yeah.
Have we all watched it?
Fuck yeah, I've already watched it like twice.
I was gonna start watching it a second time with Fox, but unfortunately, partner time took priority over Umbrella Academy, which I think is just bullshit.
So powered through. Okay, so watch Transformers first, because that was only like 6 episodes of nothing, and then
I already watched Umbrella Academy once. I want to watch it again.
No, I've already watched it twice. So Transformers was meh.
I refuse to watch anything Transformers after how bad the last one of those movies I had to see was. I was just like, fuck this, Transformers now and forever. That's what you've done.
This one's a little weird. They're very bitter and angry. And like, yeah, it's strange. A medic shouldn't be that passive aggressive. I'm just saying. But Umbrella Academy is holy shitballs. Totally badass. We get like a few musical numbers. I want to buy the soundtrack. I want a physical copy of this.
I do feel that I didn't think they'd be able to exceed the soundtrack of the first season, and they did in spades.
Yeah, they absolutely did.
I feel like the start of this season was a little weak on music, but it's like once we got 3 or so episodes in, the music really kicked in and they upped their game in a way I didn't think they'd be able to.
Well, it was kind of like a weird build-up with the music and the tempo of the show. So I think that was actually planned, because if the way you listen to the music and you watch what's going on, it really just coincides with the tone and the mood of everything. I mean, go ahead, Bobby.
Oh, I was just going to say, the music really does make the show. I mean, not saying that the show wouldn't have been good without it, but the same way, like, the soundtrack for the first Guardians.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. It's what brings you back.
Absolutely. It's built into the story.
It is.
That's the best part. It's part of the story.
And a perfect example of that is the fight with Luther. They totally do like a tribute to Snatch with Brad Pitt's character. And even the music that plays afterwards is right out of Snatch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
I picked it up immediately and I was just like, oh my God, that was just beautiful. It's so well done. It's just seamless.
I will admit, I think everything they've done in this season, the character development, they took everything up a level with this season. And I really was expecting this to be a lemon of a season.
Well, and it's kind of funny because there's been more praises, but the negative impact that I've seen from people is that they're complaining that Umbrella just rehashed the first season story, that it's the exact same story just set in the 1960s, which I think they're missing the point and how much more the family is a unit, even though they're at each other's throats and they bitch and bicker and amazingly mesh together all at the same time. So I think a lot of people are missing it.
I agree with you completely, because I think the first season was focused on solving the mystery and saving the world, essentially. But the second season is about forcing this broken family to come together. Mm-hmm. And the events that happen in the story that drive them together are just a side effect of this family coming together.
Right. It's like, you didn't get it right the first time. Here's your chance at redemption. You learn from your mistakes. It's better. I mean, it really, yeah.
I mean, that's the whole point.
Yes. But it does. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm just furious that they didn't even address that they went through the time portal. as children. Didn't even fucking address it. It wasn't explained in any way.
Well, I think it was kind of like a weird temporal thing, but for them to come through as adults, I mean, it's I don't think it needs to be addressed, really. I am curious to see how this sets up for the next season, because in the comics, we never saw a fourth series. And what they alluded, the Sparrow Academy, is actually the academy that's run by the robot mom in Pogo.
Oh, interesting.
So this is something that was hinted at in the comic books that we never got a story. We don't even know who's in the Sparrow Academy in the comics, because it never happened. At least I don't think so. Tank, I don't think there ever was a series 4 for Umbrella, was there?
Not that I know of. Okay. Not that I've even heard about, at least.
Yeah, so that was the sole setup for the next story arc that we never got. So we don't know who's in Sparrow Academy, and they did the exact same thing they did in the comics, where it's just the outlines of the characters. You have no idea who it was. So it's very interesting, and we also get the prison that Reginald built. So there's villains that Reginald has come across that are locked up in this prison, including other powers that didn't make the grade or the cut, if you will, for the academy.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't remember seeing anything alluding to the prison, but I may have missed it. I only watched it. I watched it on Friday, all right. In one sitting.
Well, like, this is.
It's so, like, it was the only way.
No, and this is stuff that was, like, set in the comics for the fourth series that we never got. So we go into some really cool Uncharted territory. So I'm like, ooh, all a tingle.
You're tingly?
I am. I'm a tingly.
I hear there's an ointment for that.
Nah, it's just my Peter tingle. The best thing, though, still, I go back and forth between Klaus and Number 5 as my favorite characters. It just depends on the scene. But, God, those two are...
Klaus is just Klaus!
Klaus is so Klaus.
But it's see, like, the thing is, just, like...
Okay, I get where you're coming with 5, but I'm sorry, Klaus wins.
I'm sorry, you're wrong, Bobby, but that's okay. I'm used to it.
The obvious winner is Luther.
Luther's about as useful as a bag of hair. I mean, did he just get dumber? I mean, like, through
he
the
entire... Did. He did.
It's amazing.
It just sucked the intelligence out of him. Like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah,
it's amazing how functional he is with how dumb he is.
Yes.
They made him a worse character, which is something I didn't even think they could do, because I hated him at the end of the first season. And now, like, it's worse than hate. It's just apathy. I feel nothing but apathy for that character.
It's like he's regressed from the beginning of season 1 to now. Like, his character's gone backwards trying to figure shit out, and it's just, wow, okay.
It's all that monkey juice.
I mean, clearly, it did something to fuck him up.
Obviously.
No, I do stand by the fact that as of right now, Ben is the best character. He's my favorite character.
Okay, Ben is pretty fucking awesome.
I think everything they've done with him is quite brilliant and exceptionally well done.
I think Ben has probably the best story arc, and we get to see that completed. So to get kind of a hint of next season about his character, I'm really, really curious to see how they address that.
Teeny tiny taste of him in season 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that I expected him to come and have such a forceful character. And then... let's call it the special scene in the mansion. That was, I was rolling. Like, I was laughing so hard. It was so dumb. I'm trying not to give away any spoilers, but it was so funny.
Yes.
Another thing I'm super curious about is how they, the second to last episode, let's call it,
okay,
with the Hargreaves, I can't think of his first name, Reginald.
Reginald, right.
That scene before, let's just say, he kicks some serious ass.
Oh, as far as Reginald's secret?
Yes, and I'm so fucking curious, man. I've been thinking about it for days. I'm like, what the fuck did that mean? What the fuck just happened?
Well, and, you know, that's because my theory is that Reginald has always been from the future, because we got that tidbit from season one with all the rockets firing off and, you know, him being displaced in time and way older than what he should be when he dies at the beginning of season one. And then to see him show up now, it's like, well, there's definitely something going on. And then the hint that the man in black, the men in black drop of, we're going to leave your project on the moon alone. Like,
yeah, that's what had me.
Wait, what? What project?
Yeah, and then, like, he was looking at the, like, I guess, slow I don't even know, like, what to describe that tonic he has.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's not, like, just a healing potion. It's, like, some sort of genetic mutation.
It's the monkey juice.
Yeah, but it's except when it's like used on a monkey and then it's not monkey juice.
Yeah, but did you see how much of a badass Pogo was?
Oh, dude, he
Pogo was awesome anyway.
That was awesome.
Amazing. So yeah, I'm curious what the secret is, what Hargreaves, what Reginald's got going on, but yep. And my MVP, as far as characters, has to go to AJ. It's hard to be a goldfish.
Very true.
That was nothing so delicious as little tiny goldfishes.
I don't know, man. That thing didn't look very fucking small sliding.
I have a theory about that. I don't think we've seen the end of either one of those characters. I have a theory.
I don't believe so at all. Are you going to, like... I bet your theory has a shit ton of spoilers reference.
Yeah, I can't. I'll tell you guys the theory off air. But I have a theory of what's going on with that one.
I'm so excited.
All right. So have we sufficiently covered Umbrella Academy? I know we could talk about this for many more, you know, hours.
Yep.
But we have a lot to cover, surprisingly, since we're all in the quarantine and such. But since we were talking about Monkey Juice and other mutants, let's talk a little bit about the fact that New Mutants has been delayed again.
Well, I have to tip my hat to the production staff, because during the San Diego Comic-Con video conference of New Mutants, they gave us a nice little new trailer, and during the trailer, they even had, like, all of the years and dates that New Mutants is supposed to come out and them getting crossed off, and, I mean, they definitely have a sense of humor about this, but at this point, I just feel bad. You got Mulan that everyone is pushing for video release, and now everyone was like, well, why haven't you done this with New Mutants? What's going on with these other films? And I don't know where I sit on this one. I really want to see the New Mutants, especially after the trailer, because this is like the trailer references something right out of issue number one. For New Mutants, the storyline, all of it. So it really kind of struck a chord you know, for me, when I remember reading New Mutants number one when it first came out. So I'm like, all right, I'll buy in on this one. This is great. It's a good idea. But
well, at least we have a point of reference for why it's not going to follow Mulan.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to. Yeah. Plain and simple. Can't. Yeah. We can't do that. We have to release it in the theaters as per our contract with Fox.
Mm-hmm. So I not surprised. I mean, I think we're going to see more of this. Wonder Woman will be the next one. I think we hear another pushback on.
Probably, unless they just get tired of waiting and push it onto HBO Max to draw people in.
Oh my God. I hope not. That would be a waste. That would be a huge waste.
I agree completely, but you never know. They might do it anyway.
I mean, New Mutants was announced 5 years ago.
Yep.
And now we don't know when or if we're ever going to see it.
I mean, but the thing is, stuff like this happens quite often in the entertainment industry. I mean, this happens weekly in the video game industry, and it does happen quite frequently with film. It's just, it's not something we're used to having so in front of us. So I think that's kind of why people are reacting kind of strangely to this, is because it's not something we usually experience directly. It's something only for those of us, like us, who are in the know.
Well,
really deal with
it. Yeah, and usually the studios have a way of covering it by pushing something else in its place. Like, all of a sudden, hey, this new movie's coming out. Well, I thought this was coming out later. No, it's coming out now. Oh, okay. So it's distracting us with a bright new shiny thing while we forget what was supposed to be here. So, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have the shiny new toy to show us that the toy we wanted is no longer available or in stock.
Nope. Teddy Ruxpin, you're a cruel bastard.
I'm really curious to see how this develops. I mean, honestly, if my previous experience is anything, I think it's probably going to be just canceled in general, and they're going to stop dumping money into it, because, like, each time you postpone a IP, like, you have to extend out your licensing rights, you have to extend out, I mean, just development costs alone. It's just a tremendous amount of money that they have to keep spending. And I'm not sure if that property is valuable enough to continue.
I don't know. I mean, it's a finished film, though. I mean, it's in the can. It's a done project. So, I mean,
it's all big touch-ups.
Yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Stash, but it's an interesting dilemma to be in, because you have a finished product, and you're absolutely right. Do we keep spending the money, or do we hold back? I mean, it seems like a waste to just let it sit there, because we know we'd make money if we released it, but do we keep the money going into it until we...
Well, at this point, who's spending money?
Studio?
Which studio? Disney owns it now. They have to release it based on Fox's information, but Disney owns it. So yeah. Nobody's paying anybody licensing anymore. It's an outright owned property now.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, Fox still gets money from it, though, don't they?
They get...
Only if it's an active property, though.
Yeah, if it's
a non-active property, then no one's making anything.
I mean, do you think maybe there's a... This is something that might be interesting, is maybe Fox has a certain amount of money they have to make for the property, and until that threshold is met, Disney makes nothing. So maybe Disney, rather than risking dumping all this money into Fox and getting nothing for themselves, maybe they're just going to shelf it until they can guarantee that they are going to make their money, not just Fox's money.
Just choke them out? That's hilarious.
Is that not a Disney-ass thing to do, then?
Oh my God, that is something the mouse would do. Go ahead, Tank.
Either way, it's Fox, it's on Fox's table right now because they're the ones who had that part of the contract. They're holding that part of the contract. They're holding Disney to that part of the contract that they're not allowed to release anything until it goes to theaters. They're not allowed to release it onto the streaming service. So at this point, it has to be Fox holding it up. I'm assuming there's some sort of contractual obligation that Disney cannot break or they would do it. They have no reason to hold it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised. Like I said, New Mutants has suffered horribly throughout their entire production, so.
Yeah. Well, something that is going on to Disney is the new live-action Mulan movie, which looks interesting. I've been excited about seeing it because I've read a book that is also, you know, based on the Mulan poem that follows more what they did the movie on, which is not as much about the cartoon. This movie does not have any singing and dancing in it. It's very different. It's much more classic based. But they're saying now that it's $30 to watch this movie on your own sofa.
On Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, once you buy it, it's yours, which is fantastic. But there's a lot of people who are super pissed about this.
I mean, studios have to make money somehow. I've seen this on Amazon Prime. Like, I've seen rentals of movies that are coming out that are $30 to rent the movie. At least then we get the ownership of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, and to be totally honest, if you think about how much it would cost to go and see this movie in a theater, you know, now you're not getting the same benefits of seeing it in the theater. You're not getting the same sound quality, the same visuals quality. You know, you're not getting that ambiance, that experience. But if you were to go to a movie theater, and this is a Disney movie, so let's say you're going to take your little bratlings, you know, and you have anywhere from 1 to 12 bratlings. You know, let's use my sister as an example. She has 4. Oh. Because apparently they don't understand that you can say no or watch cable or use a condom or any of those other options. You know, after their second one, their oldest finally looked at him and said, "Will you please stop having sex? I have enough sisters." Which, you know. Anyway, you know, so they want to take their 4 kids to go see this movie. Right? They go to a matinee, but that's still, you know, like $6 a kid. Right?
$6? Bullshit. You can't see a movie for $6.
For children?
I don't know children, so.
Okay, so I'm talking children's prices, $6 for each ticket, plus the adult ticket, so that's $10, right? So you're looking at $34 right there, plus popcorn, plus food, you know, and drinks, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And then you don't even get to see half of it because you have the bratlings with you. No,
I don't.
And so you just spent $50 and you didn't actually get to watch the movie.
I mean, Stash and I are kind of in the same boat here. We're single guys. We may take a date or someone with us to see the film. That's $20. And then if we get treats or snacks, then, you know, another 20. We're in for it for 40 by, you know, a reasonable amount. I understand it, but it just pisses me off. I'm already paying for Disney Plus. You're already getting that subscription fee from me. And now you're going to...
Really isn't worth it in the first place.
Yeah, and now you're going to gouge me for another 30 on top of a monthly fee? Fuck off.
See, and that's where I have an issue with it.
Yes.
You only get to maintain ownership if you continue having Disney Plus. There's where my issue lies. Like, now, no, so I bought this fucking movie. I should be able to put it on any streaming service I want. If I want to throw it on Google Play, I should be able to do it there.
Yep. I should be able to download it to my video cloud, and it should be fine.
Exactly. That's where my issue is. The cost is like, eh. A new Disney movie costs $30 anyway. So, whatever.
But then at least I know what I'm getting. If I'm going to choose to go buy a film at Walmart or whatever, I've already most likely seen it. I want to add it to the collection.
Oh, don't tell me you've never blind bought a movie.
Oh, I'm not saying I haven't, but Disney's a crapshoot. I mean, half the time I'm like, if I had bought that live action Aladdin, I would have been pissed. That blind purchase, that would have been like, oh my god, I'm mailing this to pieces to Will Smith and saying, fuck you, and call it done.
It would have been better than blind buying the Lion King live action CGI shit.
Exactly. So, I
preferred Lion King to Aladdin.
Really? That Lion King was so bad, I fell asleep in it. Like, the only thing I have ever met who even comes close to liking that is the cat, the four-legged cat that lives in my house.
I don't know. It wasn't that bad. Yes, I've seen worse. Dumbo was terrible.
Oh, yes. Dumbo was terrible.
Yeah. Sorry. No, you're right. Now I got Will Ferrell stuck in my head, or Colin Farrell stuck in my head, because he was just so bad in that film. I can just see him and Danny DeVito's face just like, oh. Yeah, so you're right. If I'm going to pop for 30, I should be able to download this to my video cloud and take it with me. Have that choice.
Exactly. Not for partial ownership.
Yeah. Nah. No, fuck you, Disney. You're getting enough money from me already.
No, they're not getting much from me. I prepaid, so I pay like $4 a month.
Oh, yeah. I'm still on my 1-year free membership from Verizon.
Oh, there you go.
But, like, I still feel like that service is not worth it. Like, I don't know.
Stash, you're breaking up real bad.
Is that any better?
Nope.
It's echoey. Sounds like you're talking into a can.
Hang on, let me move back upstairs.
All right, Dash is trying to get his shit together.
I mean, even still, some of the so this week on Disney, what landed? I mean, we've got the new Muppets series that landed, and that's kind of it. So, I mean, we're getting just like little tidbits from Disney.
They've been putting the X-Men movies on there finally.
Yes, they do have those. For like the first week. That's not true. For the first 2 months, I guess, I was really excited with Disney Plus. We had The Mandalorian, which made me happy. We had, a bunch of the old school stuff. I watched like the old school Three Musketeers with Oliver Platt, and Charlie Sheen, right? Come, yeah. D'Artagnan, we are saving the king. Right? It's like one of my favorites. And like Sword in the Stone and stuff like that was on there, Black Cauldron. But now I'm almost never on that platform.
Well, they don't refresh it. I mean, I understand you've got the vault, but I mean, at least every couple of weeks, put in something, rotate something.
They actually are. I just saw, I can't remember where it was. They're going to start rotating every at least once a month, but potentially every couple of weeks. They're going to start rotating titles a little bit more so they can get more shit, at least.
That's one thing I'll give to Netflix. And even Amazon Prime is getting better about it, is every month there's new stuff. Unfortunately, it also means every month something that you were like, in the middle of a season or something, that series could be gone.
Yeah, that is the drawback.
I've never experienced that.
Well, like, I believe it is rotating.
Yeah.
Because they are still licensing out their stuff. So I'm assuming it is still just a rotating schedule.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, we had that experience in the house the other day. We were, as a household, it's difficult for us to find shows that we all want to watch together. But, you know, when everybody's all sitting down in the living room, we want to put something on. So we all agreed on watching Lost Girl, right, with the succubus.
Yeah.
Because it has, you know, something in there. It has eye candy for everyone. And it used to be on Netflix, and it's been on Netflix for like a year or more. And as of August 1st, it's not there anymore.
Nope.
I'm just like, mother, nah. Like, we finally agreed on something that everybody here wants to watch. So, yeah, because the last thing we all agreed on was jumping back into, you know, The Mandalorian. Yeah, it's going to be a hot minute until we get season 2.
It is definitely going to be quite some time before that happens, but I don't know. I think the thing I'm worried about is Disney doesn't have the programming to do cycles the way they do, the way other streaming services do, because Disney has a lot of intellectual property, but so much of it is a creature of its time and not something you go back to. Because, like, don't get me wrong, like, I've watched 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Swiss Family Robinson, and a few other classic films. But if they start rotating stuff, it's like, I already go on there once every 2 months, maybe. Like, before Hamilton came on, I bet you it had been 4 months since I gotten on Disney Plus.
Well, it depends if they start bringing in, you know, as they're slowly introducing in more of their Fox properties and stuff like that. And I don't know. We'll see. Well, see, to me, it's worth it because I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. So Disney's worth it.
Okay, so with Disney acquiring Fox, I want to know if they're going to start bringing in some of the, you know, more adult material.
Last I heard, that's getting pushed onto Hulu because they also own Hulu.
Yep. That's where,
probably there.
Yeah, that's where you're going to find, that's where all that stuff's going to find a home.
Yeah. That's my assumption based on everything I've seen about it.
So you have to pay for 2 fucking streaming services.
Oh, well, you can pay Disney twice and get both of them at the same time.
I refuse. It's like the only reason I even got Disney Plus was because my sister wanted it. It's like, I don't know. This is the problem we're going to start having with streaming services. And, like, we're already seeing this issue. Like, there are so many, and so many of them are just irrelevant. It's like, I watch the main 3. I watch Hulu, Netflix, and Prime. And Prime is mostly the nostalgia kick.
So I barely watch Prime.
Unless you pay the extra.
All of Eureka again.
And Warehouse 13 is on there.
All of it?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, I'll be watching that next. I just finished Cobra Kai, too.
There you go.
Cobra Kai, like, ended so well. I cannot believe that...
That you watched it? I can't believe that either.
I love
Cobra Kai. Are you kidding? I'm a huge fan of Karate Kid. Fuck you. No, I can't believe that YouTube Red essentially killed their contract, so Netflix is picking up that IP.
I'm wondering, it had to have been a monetary issue, right? Like, I understand, that killed on there.
Oh, yeah. What it was is YouTube didn't want to extend the contract for any further than a third season. And the writers of Cobra Kai already have the third season shot and they want more. So they outsourced, or they looked for another producer, and Netflix scooped them up. We're supposed to get season one and two of Cobra Kai on Netflix at the end of this month.
Yep.
And then the third season, people are thinking, is going to drop in December. But, like, that series is so good. It's so much better than I thought it would be.
I've watched it, I think, three times all the way through, both seasons, something like that.
I am impressed, good sir. Very well
done. I love that. I love that series. I don't know.
Like, I rewatched the movies just so I was in a proper, you know, mental state for it. And it didn't disappoint. Like, the sheer cameos, well, they're not even cameos because they're just reprising their roles. The sheer number of actors who have returned to that property is just incredible.
Well, and we're getting, what's her face next year, I'm assuming, on the next season. Oh, I can't remember her name. The girlfriend from the first movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't believe that's where
that ended up.
Yeah. That was such a good ending. I was just wow. I actually finished it today, which is why it's on the top of my mind. But, like, I can't believe all these actors are willing to do it. But then again, I can't think of really any actors from that series outside of Mr. Miyagi who had any success outside of this franchise.
That's not true. Elizabeth Shue has
huge success.
Huge career.
All right, maybe one.
I think that's the only one.
I watched
that a little bit, but not that much.
Not to the level of Elizabeth Shue. Or what good old Pat Morita had.
Okay, yeah, she's been in a shit ton of stuff.
Yeah.
But she was in a shit ton of stuff even before Karate Kid, so.
Yeah. I mean, she picked up a lot of, I mean, hell, she even picked up Back to the Future when the original girlfriend dipped out.
Yep, Back to the Future 2 and 3.
Yep.
Adventures in Babysitting, Leaving Las Vegas. Fuck, man.
Yeah.
I don't remember her in there.
Are you kidding? She's the girlfriend.
That movie fucked me up. I was not in the right mind to be watching that movie, so I don't remember a whole lot of it.
Yeah, her and Nick Cage are just freaking insane in that film.
Oh, yeah. But that's what makes it.
I think they're just both insane anyway.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure he was insane leading into that.
I mean, most recently she was doing like CSI. She came in for like the last season with Ted Danson.
I did not know that. I haven't watched CSI. So.
I didn't make it that far into CSI. I made it like three seasons in, and then I just got. I'm sorry.
I got to the point where the black dude became a drug addict.
I like the crime shows. Like, I really get into them. But CSI turned into crime show meets soap opera.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So let's kind of, you know, segue over a little bit to make Stash, you know, still talking about a series that he loves, but not Cobra Kai. The Wheel of Time.
Okay, so this is The Wheel of Time is the series that made me start reading when I was growing up. It was
I thought military school is what made you start reading growing up.
Military school is what made me start reading when I was growing up, but when I went, my mom bought me one book and it was the first book in this series.
Ooh.
And this I was a wee little lad. And every
You're
time
still a
they
wee
would
little
come,
lad.
It's true. Less wee now, though. Every time she would come out, or they would come out, or I would go home, I would get one more book in the series, obviously, until I reached the point where he had published to. And it just, like, it was a solid encouragement and made me want to read. And, like, looking back on it now, I'm like, it's not necessarily the best writing or anything like that. And he has, let's call it, some very archaic views of women. And, like, the writing isn't great, but, like, the world building is just exceptional. And what he was doing at the time had only been rivaled by very few authors. And it expands, it's 16 books. And I think technically there's a novella as well. So 17, if you want to count that. 17 books, and, like, each book, the novella is the smallest, and it still sits around a couple hundred pages.
Jesus. So isn't the first book, like, almost 800 pages?
Oh, yeah.
Something
huge.
Like that?
I don't know. I
don't have my light on in my room, otherwise I could tell you, because I have them all sitting here. But it's just a huge thing. I was reading that article, and they said it was something like 1.2 million words. And that's obscene. And the fact I've read every single one multiple times, some of them like above four times.
1.2 million words in the first four books.
Oh my fucking god. Yep.
So which is a bigger series, the Wheel of Time or the Mistborn series? Because I know this is another
Wheel
one
of
that,
Time.
I know
Mistborn
that that's
is three books long, and there's a adjacent trilogy that continues in like a separate, it's kind of like a post the first three books.
Because I know they were eyeing that property as well as the Wheel of Time. So,
see, I think Mistborn would make a better video game than it would a TV series.
Maybe.
That'd be a cool video game. I'd play the shit out of that.
Yeah,
because, like, the way the abilities are designed, it would just be, it would make more sense as a video game. Everything is too internal and very complex. I don't think it would play very well as a TV or movie. But Mistborn is much smaller. I mean, it's ironic because Brendan Sanderson actually finished the Wheel of Time series, because Robert Jordan died before he could finish the last, like, three books. So they both have at least partially the same author. But it's just, each one is very different, and I'm not sure that Mistborn could be applied outside of a video game effectively. But Wheel of Time, like, the interesting thing about it is, who was it? I want to say Fox has the rights to it.
Really?
Yeah, they bought the rights.
I'm double checking.
Someone has the rights to them, and they bought it, I shit you not, like 15 years ago. And they've just been sitting on it because, like, it wasn't the right time. So what they did is they did a really fucked up thing. They were going to lose the rights. It was going to revert back to the estate of Robert Jordan because they hadn't done anything with the property. So they came out with a super shitty, really short, half-hour-long, straight-to-TV, like, show, episode, single episode, that was just awful. It premiered at, like, 3 a.m. on, like, a Wednesday or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, no one ever saw it. I have seen or heard no one ever talk about it, which means it was incredibly limited on its viewing.
Well, and it was never released again. Wasn't it shown only one time?
It was one time. It was just to perpetuate the contract that they had for the intellectual property.
Yeah, and
ever since that happened, they've just been sitting on it. And fortunately, it looks like someone may finally be picking up the series and trying to do something with it.
Amazon and Sony.
Sony, that's
it. Oh, there you go.
Sony. All right. Yep. Interesting.
I mean, they've done the same thing with Fantastic Four, essentially. So
yeah, Amazon and Sony are co-producing the adaptation.
I don't understand how you distill a world like that into a good, like, mini-series, because, like, Amazon doesn't do series that extend beyond, like, 10 or 12 episodes.
Nope.
So, we're gonna need a small series, and you can't even cover the first book in 10 hours. Like, 10-hour-long episodes? There's no way. I mean, you would have to cut out huge parts, which you could do, but then you cut out entire characters from the series. I mean, I've been watching the casting for this for a while now, and it's fascinating because they're doing an incredible amount of very diverse actors. So, like, we have, I want to say, maybe half a dozen, if not more, nationalities represented in the casting I've seen so far, which is awesome. It's just very strange when it's a small city where everyone, it starts in a small village where everyone is kind of like related, but it's interesting that they're pursuing it in that angle. I mean, frankly, as a property, I've always thought it would be so cool to see on screen, but the adapters and the creators of a series just have so much work they're going to have to do. I mean, the power system alone, the magic, quote unquote, is so complex and so paramount to the entire series that I don't know how it's going to be done successfully on film.
The goal for what they're saying is that they want it to be the equivalent of Game of Thrones for Amazon, the way Game of Thrones was for HBO.
Yeah, but they also said that about Lord of the Rings. There are Lord of the Rings series that they're doing.
Yeah, they're comparing it to both Lord of the Rings and the way those movies were shot, as well as comparing it to the Game of Thrones series. So let's just hope it's not like season 8.
I mean, we'll see. I think it's a great property, and if it's addressed, it can be a very good platform for promoting healthy polyamory, because it is a topic that is addressed in those books, albeit briefly, and it's by no means a focus, and it's, let's not say it's healthy polyamory, but it is polyamory.
Let's be honest, they're not going to really address it. If it happens in the show, it'll be glanced over. Like, just kind of like, oh, hey, look, he has two wives. Let's move on.
Three.
I was just using it as an example, but yes.
I don't know. Because so much of this, like, he builds so much on the first premise of the book and expands so many things outward that it's really going to be difficult for them to not write in a lot of things. And I'm worried that it's going to be just a 10 episode long info dump about the world to start the world. And, like, it won't be successful if that happens. And it'll be just, I mean, worse than that, it will just be boring to listen to.
You know, my concern is they're going to do like what they did with the Shannara Chronicles, where
make the worst second season of all time.
That too. But it was so disjointed that, you know, it didn't really like explain what was happening, why it was happening, and unless you really knew the storyline, the series didn't flow, in my opinion.
I mean, I don't know. That series was very difficult because it was so tailored for a younger audience. I think there were a lot of issues with that series. I think the first season, you can find enough character interaction and arcs to drive it forward, because I completed the first season. The second season, I watched like maybe 15 minutes to a half hour of the first episode, and I was like, fuck this. Like, the acting actually got worse than it was on MTV, and I didn't even know that was possible. But, I mean, that's the thing. We have these properties that are being engaged by these really big studios, but they have to be willing to put in the work. I mean, that's the thing about Game of Thrones, is Game of Thrones was only successful because it was adapted the way it was. It wasn't written to be a television series. It took a lot of work to make it that way. And the Wheel of Time is in the same wheelhouse. God damn it.
Wow. A lot of wheels there.
It's like,
thank you. I was like, I know I'm going to hear something about this.
It's like the show that they tried to make. Well, I guess they actually did make the show. I just pretend it doesn't exist. The Legend of the Seeker. I made it 20 minutes in the first episode, and I was screaming and throwing things, and my partner at the time took away all heavy objects because he was afraid I was going to break the TV. Because I was so angry with the way they were doing the show, because they fucked everything up. Everything. Everything was wrong.
I mean, I'll be honest, I found... the way I found that series is I just had it on one day, and I was like, why the fuck does this seem familiar? And I'm like sitting there with it on for like 20 minutes, and I'm like, holy shit, that's based on that series. And I would never have been able to tell if not for the use of some names.
Right? Like, thank you. Oh my god, it's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad.
Indeed, it's... I mean, okay. I have confidence that Wheel of Time will not be that bad. Because I don't know if you...
I don't think anything, like, seriously, even Dresden Files, where he drove a Jeep and carried a hockey stick, was not that bad.
That made me so very angry.
I don't know, man. It was the drumstick that got me. The drumstick was a blasting rock. Oh, God.
Huh. Yeah, and his hockey stick was his wizard staff.
Yeah.
That series in general pissed me off.
Although
right? And Bob was actually a person inside the skull. The fuck?
Yeah. Although Bianca was hot as fuck, I will give them that. But they also set her up as being the main villain for the entire
Murphy
series.
Murphy was this tall brunette.
Are you trying to say Murphy isn't a tall brunette? That she might be a short, stocky, muscular girl? That's weird. That's weird. It's almost like you've read the books. Oh, speaking of Bobby, you know about like what he's doing with the next book, right?
No, I haven't heard.
The next book comes out next month.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the next Dresden Files book comes out next month, because the way the last book ended was so, it was setting up so much stuff that he designed it and wrote it to where they could be released as close as possible to give his fans like the conclusion that they want.
That's so, really damn close.
Yeah, like He went to the publisher and he asked for them to be as close as possible. And he has, like, what, 3 months between them?
And Something like that.
Yeah, that's as comfortable as they would get. And I'm, like, all for it. That's super fucking cool.
I don't think I've ever seen that done.
James Patterson's probably done it.
Yeah, I have on a couple of things, but usually they are works that have been previously written by an author, and like, let's say he wrote all 4 books, and then just the publishing company
picked up the first one, and they're like, this was successful enough, we'll pick up
the rest. But I've never seen like an author go out of his way to write 2 books in a row, only to have them published this closely together intentionally.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yep. Here, I can look it up and tell you exactly when Dresden Files is going to come out. It's called Battlegrounds, and it is
available September 29th.
Wow. Shit.
That is my brother's birthday.
Well, tell your brother to fuck off.
You're going to be reading that day.
I tell my brother to fuck off on a regular basis. It won't be any different.
Exactly. See?
You're set. But that's a really interesting thing.
And I would really like to talk to Jim Butcher about his decision to do that, because
like, it takes a strong series like Dresden Files, something where your publisher is like, you're our, like, prodigy here. We want to give you whatever you want to be that successful. So I'm really curious and super fucking excited, because I'm going to reread the last book before that one comes out again. So good. So good. I love fantasy when it's good. So enjoyable.
Agreed.
All right. On that note, we had other things to talk about.
Yes. Okay. So, speaking of books that Stash won't read, comic books.
How dare you?
Be honest with our listeners.
It's true.
Well, we're getting closer to Ronan.
I know. That will change. It will change for Ronan.
God, that's going to be weird for you to go into a comic book shop and buy a comic.
Yes, are you going to do that, or are you just going to talk to Tank and have him do it for you?
I've already reserved a couple copies in case you want one.
I will gladly do that instead.
It helps that we have a connection, huh?
Yeah.
And for those of you who are listening, Nox Nostalgic Collectibles could be your connection too. Did I sound super like, you know, infomercially? Because that's what I was going for.
That was heavy pitch voice.
Yeah,
that's what I was going for. Okay. But also, the 3 Jokers covers have been released.
Yeah.
You know, the build-up for this is, you know, many moons. You know, but pre-orders have got to go in, you know, and make sure you know what you're getting yourself into.
Well, pre-orders got cut off last week for final cutoff FOC. So, and they made you up your minimum order by 10 to be eligible for a lot of the different variant covers that they've released. So it's a guess as far as which shops were paying attention and which shops were not. Because I honestly think that this is going to be one of those books you can't order enough of. This is going to be one you want to stash. This is going to be one, no pun intended. This is going to be one for sure that will hold its value and continue forward.
Well, and it's like a... They did the same thing with the ordering thing, with the Dark Knight's Death Metal.
Yeah.
That kind of pissed me off, because I actually really wanted the Batman Rex cover.
But I mean, it's kind of an interesting story. It's something that was hinted at like ages ago, like 2-3 years ago now, when Scott Snyder hinted at it at the end of the last Joker story in that Batman run. And ever since then, everyone's like, what do you mean there's three Jokers? So for them to revisit this is kind of genius. And of course, it's not happening in canon, or at least that's what they're saying. I think they're just being cautious and don't want to let too much out there about it.
I think I would agree with you. I think that this is more cautiousness than anything else, because I think it'd play well if it led into the canon story.
I think so too, especially with Joker War going on right now.
That's my exact thought. Like, to be able to potentially connect that at the end of this, of, oh yeah, well, it doesn't matter that, you know, whatever happened, because there's still two more out there, or, you know, something.
Yeah. You'll never get all of us.
Yeah, that one's going to be really cool. I mean, this week, you know, obviously Batman was...
Batman 96.
Yeah, Batman's Batman. Interesting story. Joker, you know. Joker stuff's still going.
Yep. Actually, Deceased Planet is probably the bigger hit, I think, this week. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Which one?
Deceased Planet number 2.
Oh, yeah. That was huge. There was a lot of people looking for that one this week. I noticed that. Empire's already overblown, even though it is an interesting story. They stretched it across too many titles, I think.
I'm underwhelmed with this story. It's exactly what I expected, and I'm keep hoping that maybe those last two issues, because 4 landed to this week, 5 will probably be next week, and I'm hopeful, but I'm very disappointed. It's exactly what I thought.
I think they stretched it out too much.
Yeah.
I know it's supposed to be like a big world-changing thing, but I think they did it wrong in their attempt to change the world.
Yeah.
They needed to make it a smaller scope thing that has a gigantic impact rather than stretching it across basically every title in the Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Empire really, I'm just, eh. The best, one of the hidden gems that no one really has caught on about yet is Far Sector. Far Sector was, I think, kind of snuck in on a lot of people that didn't know it was there, and by far is probably one of DC's, it's going to be one of DC's hotter properties moving forward, I think.
Well, and I think they did it smart by going, you know, on the line that they did, you know, instead of making it anything going on the Young Animals line, I think was smart.
Yeah.
Just because it does have its niche quality to it, but I think if people actually invest time into it, it's worth it.
Yep.
Especially at this point.
Agreed.
And then they did the Dark Knights Death Metal Legends of the Dark Knights.
Yeah. That one I'm a little, it's overplayed for me, so I'm kind of like, eh.
I think it's good for people who really, really love the Batman Who Laughs concept.
Yeah.
To get you a little bit more story out of it. And I like that they're kind of doing what they did already a little bit with, you know, Red Death and stuff like that. So, might be worth it if you are invested in the Batman Who Laughs and the Dark Universe stuff.
Yeah, and I think that, you know what, they should actually pace that out so it doesn't conflict with Dead Planet the same week, because I think when you look at the two books, Dead Planet by far is the superior title. And it just kind of, you know, overshadow that one.
I would actually have to agree with you on that one.
Well, I think the big thing right now, though, is the fact that DC has enough stuff coming out to overshadow itself. Whereas Marvel,
they're kicking Marvel's ass on the comic side right now.
I mean, like, for me, that's the bigger takeaway right now with all of the comics that are coming out is, you know, you have DC and Marvel who are really the big names. You know, I mean, we have a bunch of other smaller publishers, but the two big names, Marvel's really kind of in the same boat as all of our smaller publishers right now. They're not really showing up.
Well, and on top of that, Marvel has canceled a shit ton of titles. Both of the Conan books are done. Ghost Rider's done.
God, I'm sorry. I just slammed my table. That pissed me off so bad that they cut Conan.
Yeah, both of them. And I mean, they wrestle it out of Dark Horse's hands, which with religiously, that book came out. It was solid stuff. And for them to just bring it back to cancel it just is nonsense.
And it's so good. God,
it is very good.
The story's been so good.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got both the Conan books. Ghost Rider's done. Doctor Strange is done. What else did I see?
I can't believe that they killed Ghost Rider, though. That one was seems stupid. Ghost Rider, nothing against the character, but he was actually finally catching on with a larger audience.
Yeah.
And then they ended up killing it now. I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. This is the best Ghost Rider's ever done. Why are you killing that?
Yeah, I mean, they had Danny Ketchback. They had the whole story going extremely smooth, was loving it, and now kaput.
Not surprised about Doctor Strange, if I'm going to be honest.
No, this team on the book, it doesn't compare to the last one, and it fell flat, and I hate it. I gave it a chance. I did.
They should have never killed the last one and gone into what they're doing now. They should have kept it where it was going. Though, outside of the Marvel and DC world, I have, honestly, my big recommendation this week is, or for next week, is The Resistance.
Everyone's talking about that book.
Out of Upshot. It's interesting, actually.
Really? How so?
Well, because it's such a large-scale story that they're kind of they're creating a universe out of nothing, and it I don't know, that's it's hard to explain. Like, it's such a they're trying to create a universe right now. That's what the whole point of this the Resistance series is. They're kind of creating Upshot's universe. And you know, they intelligently had J. Michael Straczynski as the head writer for it. And I think that gives it a lot of name value straight up out of the front, you know? Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're going to be building a universe of superheroes, but not in the same way that they've ever done it before. I don't want to give too much away, but essentially they're introducing superheroes into a universe that's already destroyed.
Oh, fantastic.
It's such an interesting concept that, because, you know, in basically every other superhero, they're coming into a universe unexpectedly, but that universe exists and is generally thriving when it occurs. And then there's some weird incident that happens, and then, oh, a superhero. This one, it's everything's fucked, and now they're superheroes.
And they're just like, dude, where were you like 100 years ago?
And I don't know. That's, dude. And the fact that they're keeping it going, even through, you know, the COVID, everything, and that they're not letting it die is really cool. Because it could have easily died. They only had two issues out when the coronavirus hit. So they could have just killed the series and that would have been it. And the fact that they're actually going to keep pushing forward, even though it's kind of an upstart company, is really cool.
Well, and I think Straczynski has a lot to do with it. Because everybody loves him. His Spider-Man run is, you know, regarded as one of the best. So
true.
It's, I do want to see where it goes. I'm just like everyone else. What are they going to do? So I'm glad that they didn't throw in the towel. Absolutely.
Exactly.
It's always exciting when you can find something that's actually new and a different kind of storyline.
Agreed. That's fleeting at this point. It's harder to find it every day. So, I don't know. It just captured my attention because you don't get that too often anymore.
Nope.
Agreed. All right. Last thing we have on our list for tonight was something that was near and dear to Stash. George Romero's final project. He is uniting all zombie movies from beyond the grave.
All right. Technically, he's not doing shit because he's dead.
Are you talking into a can again, Stash?
I am not talking into a can. Is that better?
No.
What the fuck? I don't know what's going on. I literally have not moved. I'm sitting in the exact same spot.
Maybe we all just don't like you and it's starting to show up in the transmission.
That's possible. Well, I don't know, so we'll just drop this one. Just know that he, essentially a super fan of his picked up a bunch of his notes and crafted a single 700-page book unifying all his movies into a cohesive whole and kind of essentially creating a single universe of his that
uses his notes, his movies, and what was that?
Now we can hear
you. Oh, I'm back?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what the fuck was going on. I literally have not done anything.
So with this book, is there rumors or talk about making it a movie? Because I would rather have the movie to bring all of the worlds together.
Honestly, from what I understand, no. Because what it does is it takes all the movies and all the source material and like weird zombie POV scenes and combines it together to create a universe that is complex in many ways and probably going to be very disjointed. I obviously haven't read it yet because I just heard about it, but I think it's going to be more interesting as a text seeing how all these things work together. And I don't think it's going to be structured to have a consistent narrative. I think it's going to be more like small vignettes, and they're going to kind of piece together into the overall world.
Okay, well, it still sounds interesting.
It's very interesting, and the fact that his essentially number one fan asked if he could continue this work and essentially crafted over half of this piece on his own. And like the few pieces he didn't, he had to rework into the structure of the narrative. Makes it a very interesting cross between like a biography and a fan fiction. It's like, it's a very interesting idea, and I haven't seen anything quite like it. It's like, I have high hopes for it, though, because if it's appropriately humorous, the way all his movies were designed to, well, maybe not all his movies.
Not all. Night of the Living Dead, there's nothing humorous about that.
Yeah, there is not. But everything else.
That depends on your view of masochism.
Yeah. I honestly, like, I'm really curious to see how all these worlds interact and if the humor will still be present in the right ways. If, like, his kind of over-the-top writing will still be present. Because, like, I want to say it's almost like having a ghostwriter write this piece, but ghostwriters are always unattributed, and he is attributed, so it's going to be a very interesting expression of writing and like an interesting type of storytelling that we don't see very often.
It should be cool. Gotta be interesting.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. It's only thing I'm concerned about is like it's 700 pages and it could be terrible.
700 pages of awful. Awesome.
Well, let's hope for the best.
It could be. It's like I'm worried that it might be like imitating like World War Z, like that book.
Or something similar. Bite your tongue.
I mean, the book wasn't terrible. It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible. But the movie, that was a train wreck.
Sack of crap. Yeah.
Who knew zombies could stack?
It's a thing. I mean, that happened in what's that stupid PlayStation game that came out? DayZ? No.
Is it Dead
Rising?
No, Dead Rising Xbox.
Dead Island?
No.
Actually, Dead Island sounds right almost.
No, it's not. I know Dead
Last
Island.
Last of Us?
Dead Island's really good. Sorry?
Last of Us?
No, hang on. I'll look it up. You're like a biker.
Throwing out words at this point.
You go around biking, and it's super lame.
Paperboy?
Yes.
Sorry. Yes. You got me.
Clearly nailed it. First. But regardless, I'm really curious to see how that goes. Like it's so interesting. Oh, god damn it. There's so many zombie games. Why is it like this?
Plants vs. Zombies.
Nobody has a personality anymore.
Plants vs. Zombies is my favorite zombie game.
Well,
it's actually not that bad of a zombie game.
It's not. I mean, right now my favorite zombie game is the Resident Evil 2 remake, because that game is fucking incredible.
Plants vs. Zombies was how I did my de-stress and unwind when I was in grad school. When I was like, I don't feel like writing this paper right now. I will just plant some sunflowers and some snow peas, and then I will feel better about life.
Walnuts are what it's all about, okay?
And then I will write my term paper later. Seriously, I defeated that whole game on the PS2. This is when I was in grad school, so, you know, I'm not old, whatever.
I'm proud of you, Bobby.
It's the last video game I've ever played.
I'm less proud of you now.
This should not surprise you. You know I am not a console gamer. I am a tabletop gamer.
I am well aware, but I can still be disappointed in you.
It's okay. I'm disappointed in your lack of, you know, comic books.
Actually, I'm sorry. I can't hear you over the fact that I'm going to read Last Ronin. So, yeah. Shove it square up your poop chute right now. But there, Bobby.
You know what? If I'm going to put something up my poop chute, you're going to have nothing to do with it.
You're damn right I'm not.
But on a happier topic, I was over at a client's office the other day, and I saw
something on Facebook.
No, I saw the very first graphic novel I ever owned because I lost it in my divorce, and it was one of those things where I was like, "Oh my God, you have this! If it goes missing from your office, it is not my fault."
Which one?
And I had this whole thing. Great, fuck, now I'm talking about it, and I am completely spacing. Because I'm bringing it up, now I can't remember. It was the, world. Shit, fuck.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah,
I can't say that one's too familiar.
It must have been underground.
Yeah, probably.
Hold on, seriously, this is going to bother me because I was so excited.
Pokemon?
Elf Quest?
Really?
was my first graphic novel.
Hmm. All right.
That's an interesting one.
That was my first graphic novel. It wasn't my first comic book. It was my first graphic novel.
All right.
There's a very big difference between the two.
Yes.
But that was my first graphic novel when I was, and I didn't get it until I was in college. Because, you know, I'd get like the comic books and whatever, but my first graphic novel, I was in college. And it was the ElfQuest novels. And I was very excited because this client that I have who runs an antique store, now the ElfQuest novels are not in her antique store, but she has the entire series in her office. And I'm just like, I knew we were going to be friends. Because it's completely random.
That's cool.
But in any case, did we have anything else that was lovely that we all wanted to discuss that did not involve anybody's poop shoots?
Oh,
you're taking the poop shoot off the table, huh?
Damn it. I mean, that's pretty much everything.
Yeah,
I haven't confirmed a new Sharknado, so, but that's kind of the same thing.
What?
Poop shoot, Sharknado.
Yeah,
and then not confirming it, like that's bullshit, is what that is.
No, that's a smart play. That is brilliant, is what that is.
I'm pretty sure you're wrong, but that's okay. We're all used to it.
No. Well, I guess on that bombshell, we shall say goodbye. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Give us a like. Give us a share. Give us your questions. We are the Nerds That Know. So in the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.